morning, good morning, good morning. We come again to you from Jesus, for he sent us. And we've got a word for you this morning, and we trust that it will be a blessing. We trust that he will speak through my voice, beside my voice, over my voice, any way he wants to do it, and be a blessing to you this morning. Okay, as is our custom, we're going to bring you today's Bible lesson on divine prosperity. And it's on the theme that the Lord gave us this year, the year of overflow. I began to talk about it last week, didn't finish. So I'm going to review and then we'll say more about that. Genesis 17, 1, the Lord said, I am Almighty God, I'm El Shaddai. I am the one with overflowing provision. Man, not just enough, overflowing. That's overflow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's overflow. That's overflow. My cup running over. Same Psalm, Psalm 23. That's overflow. He's the God of the overflow. We life, I'll satisfy you and show you your salvation. Show you my salvation, he says. In 91st Psalm, verse 16. With God, you can live as long as you want to. My goodness. You talk about overflow. You don't ever have to go until you're ready to go, until you're done, until you've completed your mission. My goodness. I think part of the reason why too many Christians die too young is because they don't have a sense of their mission. When you have a sense of your mission, it's hard for any sickness to take you out or anybody else. They couldn't take Jesus out until it was done. They couldn't take Paul out until he was ready to go because they had a sense of mission. Once you get that sense of mission, you are just quite aware, I can't go yet. I'm not done yet. Lord Jesus. But if you're just living to retire and travel and then die off, you know. You know. Any old thing come along and take you out. My goodness. Didn't mean to go there, but it's also anyways. Matthew 6:30, he said, aren't you much more than the birds that fly and don't cook, don't farm, but I take care of them? That's overflow. Okay? Given it shall be given to you again, Luke 6:38. Men shall bring unto you, running over, pressed down, shaken together, running over, overflow. That's his nature. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered. You're not even capable of dreaming of what God has in store for you as a believer. That's overflow. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And you always have it, all sufficiency in all things. That's overflow. Man, always have it. All this money at the end of month. So the other way around. Whoo, glory. That you might abound to every good work. My. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. We looked at it last week. Okay? And told you that Paul wrote that, but actually Peter had the latest revelation on that. Paul wrote his epistle for us. Because Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:15 to 16. I'm sorry. He tells us that he read Paul's epistle. But Peter tells us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So he's not just able to do, he has already done. That's already done. And it's not just financial abundance, and so on. Philippians 4:7, peace of God, which passes all understanding. We have peace that passes all understanding. Nobody can understand why you're so peaceful in this situation. You should be tearing all your limbs off. But you're just so calm, cool, and collected because you have cast all your care on the Lord. And you know all is well. All is well. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. We told you not to pay attention to the need, the word need, as much as according to his riches in glory. That's where you should pay more attention. Because those riches in glory will absolutely overwhelm your need and take you to the place of want. Because if you had a dollar need, and somebody gave you $1,000, I mean, you'd be like you never even had that need, wouldn't it? That's the way, the proper way to read that scripture. Alongside the 23rd Psalm. You should never read that scripture by itself. Amen. Your faith, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, your faith groweth exceedingly. That's overflow. Huh? Your faith growing and growing and growing so you can tackle more things. So that the headache that used to take you 3 days to get rid of takes you less than that now because your faith has grown to where you know that you know that you know that your Noah knows that by his stripes you were healed. Amen. And you can keep growing that way to get to the point where you don't even touch you to begin with. That's where I'm headed. That's where I've set my faith for. Amen. And part of that, of course, is the wisdom to not do dumb things. Amen. And expose yourself to stuff that shouldn't even come close to you. Here's some more overflow. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. In believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. So much joy, you don't even know where to begin to explain. And the joy of the Lord, of course, is your strength. So that's what we talk about here. So we begin today. So the overflow is the norm. Oh, man. Overflow is the norm. The people of God were slaves in Egypt. But they didn't have enough. He got into the wilderness where they had enough. But then he took them to the place and his intent was for them to have more than enough. That's the norm for a child of God. More than enough. In every category. More than enough. Hallelujah. More than enough. Overflow. Why? Because we are agents of distribution. We're supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. Well, you can't be a blessing if it's not overflowing. You can't. It's got to be overflowing for you to be a blessing to other folk. Oh, hallelujah. So we have to set our faith, not just have enough to retire on and live another 20, 40, 50 years, to have enough forever to be a blessing, every stage of life. Overflow is the norm. There is no lack in heaven. When Jesus fed the 5,000, there was overflow. And the 4,000, there was overflow there too. Let me remind you now, I didn't review that scripture, but let me remind you now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. Chapter 8 verse 9. It said, you know the grace. The power available of Jesus. Though he was rich, For our sakes, he became poor. The word rich is overflow. We don't use rich unless you have more than enough. Amen. Rich means you got for you an extra. If you so desire to help other people, you can. And for us, that's critical. That's a part of the package. It's about us. It's not only about us. Overflow. It is the norm. Absolutely. And we have to understand that overflow is the norm. Without a doubt. Look at Mark chapter 8. So think like that. Don't be satisfied ever, really. Because there's more and more and more that we can do to help for. There's more. Yeah. What would you do if God put $1 billion in your lap today? Think like that. Lay down some time and think like that. What would I do with it? It would be fun just to spend the time. What is that? $100 million? How many church buildings could you pay off? How many Christian schools could you endow? How many Christian universities could you endow? Or at least help to endow? Think like that. Because when you think like that, you're creating a vessel for God to put stuff in. If you don't, your bottle is all capped up and closed. Nothing else can go in it. And too many Christians don't think like that. They think about how I'm going to meet my need and pay my bills and have a little over next week. And they're not thinking about helping anybody else. And that's limiting God. Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel because they wouldn't believe him. He told them to go and conquer, and they're talking about giants and grasshoppers and stuff. Amen, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 8. Look at verse number 14. Mark 8:14. And when the disciples had forgotten to take bread in one of their journeys, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. You get a picture. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware. So they didn't bring enough supplies with them, bread. So he starts to talk about bread, and they're all worried. It's like, oh no, we forgot to bring bread. And that's the farthest thing he had in his mind. Okay, let me just read it. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven, that's what you put in bread, right? Or the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, oh, he's talking about that because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, guys, please, man, how many times I gotta go over this? Why do you reason ye because you have no bread? Do you not proceed yet? Do you still don't get it? Do you still don't understand? Is your heart yet hardened about what I can do, whatever you brought or didn't bring? Remember? Having eyes, you see not, and having ears, you hear not, and do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full, fragments full, did you take up? Do you think I can't do that anymore? Why are you all worried up? Because you only have one loaf in the ship. You ought to be listening to what I'm teaching, instead of worrying about bread. Don't you remember?
I can take a fragment of a loaf and feed thousands?
Unfortunately, we are no different than these 12. Amen. Don't you remember? Don't you know this is normative with me? I do this any day, every day. Listen to what I'm telling you instead of worrying about the loaf your brother didn't bring. Overflow is a norm. So verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves, fed the 5,000, how many baskets did you take after that? What was the overflow there? And then, they told him 12. I'm glad you remember. And when I did it again, 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take? And they said 7. And then he said, verse 21, how is it then that you don't understand that that's the norm? How come? Well, how many times do I have to feed 5,000 for you to know that with me, you don't have to worry what your brother didn't bring? It's always overflow. Always overflow. My goodness. And we have to understand that. We have to understand when the Bible says nothing is impossible to God, whatever the situation, that's kind of what it's talking about. Overflow is the norm. Not barely making it, not, you know, adequately situated, not enough to last me another 20, 30 years after retirement. Overflow. 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 I haven't said it in a long time, so I want to say it again. I'm never going to downsize. Never, ever, ever. Downsize to what? I ain't got enough to begin with. I mean, what all this book tells me is available, I haven't even scratched the surface of it. So why am I going to be downsizing? At least in your mind, you shouldn't downsize. At least in your mind, you shouldn't. What have you got to lose? Again, we'll go back to creating that vessel now. For God. To put stuff in it. For you. And for other folk. So what is your part in all of this? Your part is to understand that overflow is the norm with God. Overflow of joy, overflow of peace, overflow of strength, of wisdom, overflow of faith, overflow of finances, overflow of family comedy, overflow of love, overflow in every area is God's norm. Every single area. All right, look at Matthew 6 to drive this home in one of the scriptures we looked at. Let's look at that again. Matthew 6, this is where Jesus is talking about why are they worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, what they're going to drive, what they're going to live in. You know, suddenly you would add drive in that day and time, right? And Matthew, thank you, Lord. 6. Look at verse number. Let's just go to the gist of it. Look at verse number 30. Again, they're worried about this. It tells them about the fowls of the air. It tells them about the plants and the flowers that he takes care of. Even though they don't go to work, they don't have 85 jobs. They don't save bank accounts, none of that. And then he tells them, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. In other words, they're not worth a whole lot. shall he not much more? Huh? Shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. That's the problem right there. I really have to get attention to that. That's our part. That's the problem. You say now, overflow there, overflow this, overflow that. Well, how come I ain't got it? Because you ain't exercised faith to get it. That's how come. Faith is the hand that receives from God. You can't receive anything from God without faith. Can't happen. Not salvation, not healing, not peace. Things that helped us come to, you're going to be worried about it. Guess what? You're not going to get peace. In the midst of things being helped to sculpture, you have to exercise faith and say, hey, Jesus, I cast this all on you. That's when peace comes. And certainly, it takes faith to receive abundance of finances from God. That's the issue. O ye of little faith. You have faith to pay your bills. Faith to have a retirement. Faith in this and that. Faith to take a pill and get rid of headache and so on. But beyond that, little faith. That's the issue. So we have to learn to exercise faith, to receive. How do we do that? Declare it every day. Faith is exercised when you speak it. We know God can. We know God has. So how do we connect with what he has done? We declare it every day. This is my day of overflow. Overflow of peace. Overflow of joy. Overflow of wisdom. Overflow of love. Overflow of finances. Overflow, overflow, overflow. It is my day of overflow. Got to declare that. Declaring your faith is like writing a check on money you have in the bank. If you don't write a check, it's not coming out. It doesn't matter that it's your money. Amen. They won't give it to you if you don't write the check. Yeah, but I got $100,000. Where? Write the check. Faith is writing the check. And part of that is declaring it. Declare it every day. Multiple times a day. Every time we think about how this year is going to go, declare it is a year of overflow. Overflow, overflow. And be diligent about it. I intend to be this year more than ever. I mean, you know, it's customary for us to start in January. We just feel like, and then come February, we're like, March, April, you know. Let's not do that this year. Amen. And then ask God to show you actions that you have to take in order to position yourself to enjoy the year of overflow. Faith. Faith doesn't come by hearing the word only. So didn't the Bible say that? Or read it in that context. It doesn't say faith. Faith cometh by hearing. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. We talked about that. Faith is acting on what you believe. Not just what you believe. Believe is part of it, but you got to get to the point where you already act on it. If you're not acting on what you believe, you're not in faith yet. Great that you believe. Wonderful that you believe, but you got to act like it's so. If by his stripes you're healed, you got to act like it. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can't go around talking about nothing I do works and I don't know what I'm going to do, but you're not in faith. It's not just believing that God can. Is believing that he has and acting like it. So believe God for actions, declare it, and believe God for actions that you should take to position yourself in order to enjoy overflow this year. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what not to do. When overflow shows up, any day it shows up, any hour it shows up, here's what not to do. Look at the book of Luke chapter 12. Remember, it's about you, but it's not all about you. There are plenty of people who don't know how to receive from God. You do. And He intends to pump it through you to them. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So here the brother thinks it's all about him. He's holding stuff. That's what you must not do when overflow shows up. Remember now, every cent of every dollar that comes into your life didn't come for you to spend. All of it. Huh? 10 cents of every dollar goes to God's work. And then God may have you give some of those cents to somebody else. It's a privilege to handle the entire dollar, but I'm not to think I have the liberty to spend it dollar like I want. Amen. This brother thought it was all his. And Jesus said, why are you dragging me into that fuss? But then he took advantage of it and taught on it. Verse 15. He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. Okay? So that's one thing you don't want to do when overflow shows up. Being covetous. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, except that the abundance of things should be a part of a man's life. It should not be the end all and be all of it, but it should be a part of it, no doubt. Amen. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, this, the ground of a rich fool. Rich man. Well, it was a rich fool. So the rich man, you know, brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, mistake number one, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for retirement. It's money for retirement. It was money for retirement. Listen, if you're retired, it's a mistake to think, you know what, God doesn't expect me to give anymore because I'm retired now. I have a fixed income. I'm 50! Hallelujah. Who told you that? I know exactly who told you. The devil told you that. Why? So he can keep you, you know, where you are without, you know, getting any more. Hallelujah. Just because you retired, I mean, you thought you could give it? Oh, man. Hallelujah. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up. Many years, take an ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had himself on his mind. He wasn't going to help anybody. He could care less about the poor people in his town. He was going to, destroy his smaller barns and build him bigger barns. And it didn't end well for him. This is what you must not do when overflow shows up. It's about you. It's not only about you. You must seek God and find out what He wants you to do with it and then obey. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. All right. We will receive our tithes and offering at the end of service. And if you'd like to give, there's a website. We have a website, www.BereaGoshenChurch.org. There's a place there where you can click and obey God. We thank you for it.